Well, howdy there, stranger. I'm Jordy.
And I'm Brad.
And welcome back to Beers with Queers, the true crime podcast where I research a case and Brad here, potentially you guys.
Well, if you joined us last week, you'll know that I'm actually in control of this week's episode too, because we're going to be going over part two of the Armin Muse case, which is the Rottenburg Cannibal.
So buckle up. This is the final part.
So I'm going to go ahead and just say the last week we discussed the crimes of Armin Muse, also known as the Rottenburg Cannibal. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, I highly recommend going back and listening because it is truly strange case of a cannibal having a victim that volunteered to be slaughtered and eaten and even cannibalizing portions of his own body.
Including his death. Including his penis. That's usually the biggest piece of this case that everyone... If you don't know all about this case, you know that part, because it's just
specifically his penis, because all that Brands, which was the victim, actually ate was one piece of his penis before he succumbed to blood loss. But like I said, go back, listen to that story, because it plays highly into the trials. Now, I'm going to give a brief but thorough recap, because this trial came down to nuance and the unique circumstances of Muse's crime. And I say that in quotations because at the time of his arrest, everyone knew something truly horrific had happened. But the big question that everybody was debating was, firstly, is this a crime? And secondly, if so, what crime specifically was Muse guilty of? And so here, I'm going to give a brief as I can, but a thorough, recap of last week, because like I said, this trial come down to very nuanced things that happened that night, and it is all about how the court interpreted things. So Armin Muse lived in Essen, Germany. He grew up in a 44-room mansion raised by a severely dominating mother after his father took his two favorite children and abandoned the family. Think Norman Bates and Psycho, and you're in the right place. From a young age, he was fascinated with the story of Hansel and Gretel, specifically the cannibalistic aspects of the story. He even created an imaginary younger brother named Frankie, who he imagined as looking like Sandy off of the American television show Flipper. Frankie was his companion and ally against his domineering mother, but ultimately, every fantasy Muse had of Frankie ended with him being disemboweled and cut into pieces.
So right off the bat, from a very early age, there was very obviously troubled signs.
Yeah, this started when he was like 8 years old. So Muse's obsession with the idea of cannibalism and the idea that he could consume people and make them a part of him forever, thus never being able to abandon him, only became stronger in the years to come. When Muse's mother died in 1999, he spent a year reading serial killer biographies and, without his mother to stop him, decided to finally make his fantasies a reality. Muse posted an online advertisement on the site called Cannibal Cafe, stating that he was looking for a well-built 18 to 25-year-old to be slaughtered and then consumed under the pseudonym Frankie the Master Butcher.
And that was a legitimate website that you could find just on the internet. It wasn't on the dark web or anything. It was just a website for actual people that wanted to be cannibals, just right there on the front page.
Yeah, anybody could go to it. You signed in. It was more like the old school chat rooms and everything, but like it wasn't hidden. Anybody could go to it. And surprisingly, he received a lot of interest from gay men that shared a similar fetish for cannibalism. He even met up with a few of them in hotel rooms, but all of them got cold feet before actually initiating the act. Armin never tried to pressure the men and stated that it had to happen with a completely consensual victim. Keep that in mind. He even turned down a man that wanted to be beaten to death, which Armin thought was weird.
Yeah, beating you to death's weird, but I'll eat you. I mean, that's completely normal.
Yeah. On March 6, 2001, a user going by the handle Cater99 answered Mew's post stating that he wanted his penis to be bitten off and he was prepared to be killed and slaughtered. Cater99 was 43-year-old Siemens engineer from Berlin named Bernd Jürgen Armando Brands. And if you didn't listen to last week's episode, it is worth it just to go and listen to the chat transcripts between the two men discussing Brands being butchered and eaten, like they were chatting on going to dinner in a movie.
It was very casual, very like, you know, just like you'd message your best friend, like, oh, what should we eat this evening and stuff like that, except instead of like Chili's or Texas Roadhouse, they were talking about eating his penis and best way to cook it and if it's going to be chewy or not. And like, it was definitely messed up.
Yeah, and Brands is even like, you know, hey, I hope you got a plan to get rid of my body afterwards because I don't want you getting caught or anything for this.
I don't want it to be a nuisance for you. I'd feel bad if you got caught with my body, so make sure you have a plan to get rid of it.
Yeah, go back and listen to that because, like I said, it is super creepy. On March 9th, Brands sold all his worldly possessions, wiped his hard drives on his computers, and went to Mew's house with the intention of being butchered and eaten. And I think it's important to note that he sold all his worldly possessions. So, like, he was serious about this. He was going through with it. After the two men had sex, Muse started a video recording and Brands asked Muse to bite off his penis. It ended up being too tough and he cut it off and fried it. Brands was able to eat a single bite before he fell unconscious to blood loss. And Muse, who felt the penis was unpalatable, fed the rest to his dog. Muse then put Brands in a bathtub and let him die while he read a Star Trek book in another room. Brands was alive and in and out of consciousness for 3 hours before Muse finally said a prayer and asked for forgiveness and stabbed Brands in the neck, killing him. The entire ordeal was captured on over 4 hours of video taken by Muse. Muse then butchered Brands and put him in meal-sized bags and ultimately consumed 44 pounds of flesh over the next 18 months. When he got down to just 15 pounds of Brands' flesh left, he put out a new ad looking for a second willing victim. He had 4 willing participants come to be slaughtered and were even hung upside down and marked for butchering, leaving them defenseless. But all the men eventually backed out and Muse let them go, only wanting to do this with a willing participant. He finally got caught when an Austrian student tipped off the police when he realized that Muse is legitimately wanting to go through with killing someone. And it looked like he had already done it once. The police arrested Muse after discovering 15 pounds of human flesh in a hidden bottom of Muse's freezer and a videotape of everything that had happened that night.
And that's the thing that's most horrifying, I think, is the fact that, you know, there were investigators who had to watch this, and there is going to be at least juries, because there's more than one trial, that have to watch this. And to imagine having to watch from the beginning, like, this is hours of footage of them castrating him, eating it, and then him bleeding to death. I really seriously hope that that jury got some intense therapy after this trials were over.
Well, not to spoil anything, but kind of going into the trials, because that's where we're at. I finally got the recap over. We're just about to start into the trials. It looks like that Muse got trial by judge and his things, but there were a lot of people there, so a lot of people ended up having to watch this and everything. And this kind of leads into it. I mean, the question wasn't, did Muse kill Brands? That was clearly shown in the video footage that Muse took himself. And Muse did not deny of killing Brands, telling officials, I admit what I've done, I accept that I am guilty, and I regret my actions. The problem for the prosecution was that that same footage that shows Muse kill Brands also indicates that Brands willingly offered himself for slaughter. This would make a murder charge that carried a life sentence difficult to apply in this unique situation. The other option for the prosecution was to charge Muse with manslaughter, which would carry a maximum of 15 years, but often was considerably less, and then Muse would be free and be able to do whatever he wanted to after that. Also remember that although the acts of cannibalism clearly sensationalized the case to the media and the public, cannibalism is perfectly legal in Germany, and so it would not directly lead to any charges. And to top it off, Muse was also deemed sane and capable of rational thought. So this wasn't a case of an insane person acting upon impulse. So many wondered how the prosecution would go forward with the case, as it didn't really have any similar precedents within the judicial system to be compared to. Because of this, both prosecution and defense teams come up with specifically refined charges and defense to present to the court. The prosecution would go for murder motivated by sexual urges, which is illegal in Germany. The reason they really wanted to go for murder and a life sentence is because they really thought that Muse was simply too dangerous to ever be released back into the public.
Yeah, he may be sane and his victim may be quote-unquote willing, but also had definite mental issues. He can still do it again if he wants to get back out. So,
and I think the thing was, they knew he would do it again if he got back out. So they're like, we've got to go for it, and we've got to try to put him in prison for life.
Yeah, because even if these people are, again, quote-unquote, willing to do it, you can't just go around butchering and eating people in your apartment, even if they are like, yeah, that's fine.
But ultimately, that is the question. Is that legal to do, to just take willing people and butcher and eat them in your apartment? I mean, this case literally come down to, like, okay, clearly something is wrong here. This shouldn't be going on. But, like, what can we charge him with? What is going on? What is going wrong?
Yeah, this would definitely be, like, this is an extremely unique set of circumstances. So I would not want to be, like, the prosecutor or the judge in that case, because, like, what do we do here? What laws can we, like, bend and finesse to try and get something out of this? Because I don't know. It's very, like you said, it's very nuanced.
Yeah, and that's also what kind of like hopped this case up so much, because everybody's like, is it murder? What's going on? Is this guy going to get off? Is he going to go to life for prison? Nobody knew. So Muse defense team, again, did not deny that Muse killed Brands, but they insisted that this was a case of killing upon request, as Brands was not only willing, but an active participant in his own death, and that the video footage proves that there was an agreement between the two men. Killing upon request is a form of illegal euthanasia which carries a sentence of 6 months to 5 years, maximum 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years for castrating someone and slitting their throat and then carving their body up. 5 years, that's crazy to think about.
And then he's back on the street and can do whatever he wants.
Do it again. Yeah, you've served your sentence.
Okay, so with the trial beginning shortly in the German town of Kassel, the media went into a frenzy because, like I said, this is a really weird case. Tabloids across Germany gave a detailed account of the killing and began in-depth examination of Muse, publicizing details from his past just to create more stories. Like, at this time, Muse was like the hot topic. So it's like they're going to dig up anything they can to keep stories going on. So all the media outlets began digging up or presenting graphic depictions of the crime all over Germany, including the prestigious Stern magazine, which devoted a full 10 pages to the Muse crimes, leading journalist unions and regulatory agencies to complain that broadcasters in Germany are crossing the line with their detailed and extensive coverage of sensational stories. So at this time, like, think of like National Enquirer, where everything is like sensationalized. Everybody's doing it. Even like the prestigious magazines are like, oh my gosh, okay, we want 10 pages on this guy and we want all the gory details because everybody is, you know, literally eating this up.
So to speak, yeah. Morbid curiosity. You know, same reason we have true crime podcasts kind of like today in this modern age. It's people fascinated about crimes like this. But at the same time, it's kind of weird. Like, all these magazines are going a little bit further and, like, publishing all these extremely graphic details and probably photos and stuff like that. So,
and of course, while it's going, like, being sensationalized in Germany, it's going all over the globe. Like, everyone is interested in this, like, German cannibal crime. And I think, again, that's why the German cannibal is, like, so prolific, even though, like, every country has had cannibalism, every country's had high-profile cannibal cases. Like, a lot of people think of the German cannibal just because of this, because it was, like, so sensationalized and pressed all over to everything. Everybody just could not get enough of this story. So there was so much of this media coverage and everything, and everything, again, was so graphic. There was even pushback from the psychiatric community that all of the grisly coverage could cause similar crimes by triggering new fantasies from people susceptible to mental illness, leading to similar crimes. The coverage also led to an increase in the divide of public opinion on what was this case of murder or something else entirely. Professor Arthur Kruser of the Institute of Criminology at Giessen University weighed in his opinion by stating, "This is killing undertaken for both killer and victim, and cannot be regarded as the worst case of premeditated killing." Because, like, no joke, he spent months and months and months looking for a victim. But I don't think this is a killing on request either, because it wasn't altruistic, but an egotistic deed. Meaning, he really didn't think it was premeditated murder, but it really wasn't a mercy killing, because Muse had something personally to gain out of it, which was that satisfaction and the meat he's always been wanting. So even people that were highly educated in the law was kind of like, this could go either way. And so let's get on to the trial itself, because, like I said, this is a weird one. During the trial, the court was shown extracts from the video Muse made of the killing, but only of the dialogue between the perpetrator and the victim, which highlights the agreement between the two men. More than 40 witnesses were called to court, including the British man who responded to Muse's second ad as a willing victim. The man wore ski goggles to protect his identity in court and told how Muse had him in a helpless situation, like literally had him hanging upside down and was tracking out where he was going to carve the man up, but let him go after the British guy realized that Muse actually intended on killing him, and this was not just acting out sexual fantasy.
Oh no, he had the carving knife ready and the bucket below him to catch the blood. He was ready to carve him up.
But again, this is kind of like critical to this case. This man could not get away on his own, and when he said, "I don't want to do this anymore," Muse said, "Okay, you're free to go."
But and also, you said they only played the audio of the footage of the case, so they didn't actually have to see the footage.
They actually, I don't think, watched the parts where they, like,
okay,
cut off the penis, or he laid in a bathtub for, like, because they taped the entire thing. So
For 3 hours,
this man laid in a bathtub and bled for, like, 3 hours. But anytime that there was, like, a dialogue between the two men that kind of, it kind of seems like one-sided to me, because it's like, this is the part that's like, okay, there was an agreement between these two men, and clearly in this. But the prosecution, you know, I would think they would want the whole thing played, because that just shows just how grisly and brutal this crime was.
But also, I can see, like, the judge being like, we're not going to subject the court to watching a man get his penis castrated and then fed to him. I can see where a judge maybe is like, you can play the audio for that, but I think the footage is, I think the audio will get the point across.
Yeah, we know what happened here. We know what happened here. So the court also heard from Muse himself, who described himself as a bisexual who found a strange satisfaction in zombie movies, particularly scenes in which the flesh was dismembered. And he also enjoyed animals being slaughtered. He, like, when he grew up, he was all down for watching the animals be butchered and slaughtered. During the trial, Muse remained calm and emotionless as he explained the details of that night. Muse explained how Brands had told him to cut off his penis. He said to me, "I'm tired. Cut the thing off. I want to experience it. Then, when I am unconscious, stab me to death." He also said of Brands' final moments, "I kissed him again. I prayed, also for forgiveness, and then I stabbed him." And he also talked about how the act of consuming Brand's flesh afterwards, saying that it was like an act of communion for him. "For every piece of flesh I ate, I remembered him. I always wanted someone to be a part of me." Cannibalism was something that Muse had wanted to do for a long time, and he said, "I always had the fantasy, and in the end, I fulfilled it." So the process.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Execution had to tackle the biggest obstacle standing in their way for a murder sentence, and that was Brands wanted Muse to kill him and eat him, and it was all on video. But they said that Brands may have been incapable of rational thought, and that Muse was actually taking advantage of that. So, you know, Muse actually had a psychiatric evaluation. He was deemed sane, but Brands, you know, they didn't know if maybe he was insane. And if it's that point, you're taking advantage of a person who is incapable of rational thought.
Which I feel like if you are someone who literally wants to be eaten alive, essentially, there's definitely something at work there mentally.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely something wrong, but the hard part of that is he's dead and you can't actually evaluate that. So
can't prove it.
Yeah, so you're literally saying, yeah, this guy really could have had some kind of mental problem that made him like incapable of saying no, and then Muse actually just preyed upon him. And of course, that would be straight out murder. But the hard part is you don't know that. You don't know that for sure. And in law, it's, you know, usually black and white. You can't just guess at things.
Yeah, if you don't have concrete proof of it, it's just circumstantial, and that's not gonna cut it.
So during the trial, police revealed that there were at least 800 participants in the cannibal forums on the internet, and 2 suspected cases of other cannibal killings.
And that's the crazy thing, too, to think there was that many. I mean, I guess in the grand scheme of things, 800 is not a lot, but the fact that there are 800 people on just one forum alone that legitimately either want to be eaten or eat human flesh is just fascinating, but also terrifying at the same time.
I'll also say, you know, we're talking 800 participants back in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
This is still when, like, not everybody had access to the internet. There was a lot of people that didn't. So I'm actually thinking, like, now where everybody can get to stuff like that, if that was out there, there would probably be a lot more people on there, surprisingly. In closing arguments, prosecutors demanded life in prison for Muse on the charges of intentional murder motivated by sexual urges. Prosecutor Marcus Kohler said Muse acted simply to satisfy sexual impulse and filmed himself dismembering the victim before he ate him so that he could admire himself as a human butcher. The defense attorneys argued that the slaying was homicide on demand, a form of mercy killing, because the victim gave his consent to be eating. So before I go into the verdict, what do you think the outcome will be, Jordy?
I mean, rationally, I would say probably guilty, because even though, yeah, you have him on camera being like, yes, 100%, I know what's going to happen, I know what you're going to do and kill me, I also don't think people can consent to their own murder. Like, it's one of those things kind of like the assisted, like, suicides and stuff they have in certain countries and stuff like that. It's like, people can't, I can't walk up to someone and be like, hey, murder me, and then someone shoot me, and then that person get off, because it's kind of like, that's not how a civilized society should work. So in my fantasy, it should be guilty.
Well, I'm going to jump back, you know, just because this is kind of like one of those cases like assisted suicide. But there's a lot of countries assisted suicide is legal, and these are like,
yeah,
and, you know, well, like established countries out there where it is legal. So it's kind of like on that same thing, you know, like some are like, no, that is strictly illegal. And some are like, no, this is like a legal form if you do it exactly this way. And so this is what this case is. It's about to set like a precedence and everything. And surprisingly, Muse was convicted of manslaughter and sentenced to 8 years and 6 months in prison for killing and eating a human being and looking for another to do again.
8 years. You get...
And 6 months.
And 6 months. Yeah, that 6 months makes all the difference. You get more for that for like petty crimes here in the United States. So that's bewildering to think about.
Oh, listen to what the judge said about this. The judge said there was an agreement between them. This was a killing of a person without murder. The victim offered up his body because he wanted to get the kick of his life. It was to be the final act and the high point of this man's life.
And the last point of that man's life.
Yeah. I mean, the judge is like, yeah, this guy, he got what he wanted. So, you know, I mean, yeah, we're just going to give him, you know, just 8 years and 6 months in prison. And this guy got the high point of his life by being killed and eaten. So when word got out that Muse only got sentenced to 8 years and 6 months in prison for his crimes, there was an outcry from the public. And the prosecution vowed to try him again for murder. And in 2005, Muse was tried again.
So I was about to say, so I guess Germany doesn't have double jeopardy laws or anything like that?
I should have looked that up because that was also what I was thinking. I think what they'd done was not exactly, they appealed the verdict and not really like, you know, because in the end also, he wasn't convicted of murder. This ended up not being a murder trial. This ended up being in like, you know, it's like manslaughter. Jordy can look this up and we'll actually kind of put this to rest if they do have a double jeopardy law.
Yeah, because I guess that makes sense. If he was found guilty of manslaughter, they can, like, it's still, they can charge with murder and stuff like that. So I'm going to give it a little goog.
I'll continue on while you Google that, and then, you know, we'll talk about it once you find a definitive answer for this.
So, actually, you know how fast Google works. So, the basic law for the Federal Republic of Germany protects against double jeopardy if a final verdict is pronounced. A verdict is final if nobody appeals against it. Nobody shall be punished multiple times for the same crime on the basis of general criminal law. So I'm assuming, yes, because they appealed it, they can try it again. So, so it's weird, I guess it's technically double jeopardy, like if no one appeals the case, then, and the final verdict's delivered, but I guess since the prosecution appealed it for murder charges instead of manslaughter, I guess they can kind of get around that and try him again. So, okay, fun fact.
Yeah, and in 2005, Muse was tried again. At his retrial, a psychologist stated that Muse could reoffend and still had fantasies about devouring the flesh of young people. Like, Muse was not hiding the fact. He still wanted to eat people at this time.
I mean, he's proud of it. He's like, yes, this is what I want to do. This is my fantasy. This is my life goal.
And this time, the judge saw things very differently. Different judge, by the way. Again, I think this really came down strictly to how the judges interpreted things. The other judge interpreted it the side of this guy wanted to die, so he just gave him what he wanted. This judge had a different idea about things.
As I say, first judge kind of victim blamey there. Like, yeah, he may have said he wanted it, but again, I think there was some mental issues going on there. But
yeah, this judge said the conviction only for manslaughter and not for murder does not stand up to legal review, upholding the appeal by prosecutors that Muse had killed to satisfy perverted desires. The federal court ruled that Muse Crum had constituted murder as it indicated characteristics required for a more serious crime, namely the satisfaction of sexual desires and the enabling of further crime. The judge said the judge said that the lower court had ignored the fact that Muse had recorded the killing for sexual gratification at a later date, because Muse himself admitted to masturbating over the tape of Brands being killed. There does not need to be a relationship of immediacy in the sense of killing and the sexual satisfaction having a confined time space, the judge said. So basically he's saying he didn't have to get sexual desire immediately from killing Brands, but him taping it and getting sexual satisfaction later by masturbating to it does lead into that he done this for sexual motivation.
Yeah, it was like premeditated sexual satisfaction. Like, you may not have done it when it was occurring, but you had the forethought to record this because you knew in your mind that, yeah, I'm going to jerk off to this later.
Well, I think, honestly, in Muse's, like, warped mind, he was like, okay, I need to tape this because this is literally what's going to get me off. If I tell people this man consented to this after the fact, nobody's going to believe it. But if I tape everything and I have everything on tape and I get him to agree, or that he is agreeing to be slaughtered and murdered, then I'm not doing anything wrong. And I think he looked at it very, like, cut and dry. Like, yeah, if somebody says you can do this to me, then I'm not doing anything wrong. And he didn't think he'd done anything wrong. So the court also ruled that the killing had made possible for later crimes such as interfering with a corpse, glamorizing violence, and spreading pornography. And this time, Armin Muse was convicted of murder and sentenced to life in prison. Muse stated, "If I hadn't been so stupid as to keep looking on the internet, I would have taken my secret to the grave." In prison, Muse is considered a model prisoner. Upon entering prison, he became a vegetarian.
Now that is irony to the nth degree, because
he works in the library, attends church, and even helps the other prisoners when he can. In 2007, he helped investigators in the analysis of two suspected cannibal murders from 1998 and 2000, in which two young boys were found horribly mutilated, possibly by the same murderer. So he is like
Hannibal Lecter.
He is like Hannibal Lecter. Oh, it gets even crazier. Just wait. You know, I'm going to finish with, like, something I think is actually kind of shocking.
The German Hannibal Lecter. Okay.
So it's customary in Germany for people sentenced to life in prison to be released after 15 years. That's everybody. That's customary in Germany, that if you get a life sentence, it's normally for really only 15 years.
That's... yeah, okay, I think because I've read there's a few countries like that, like, if you get, like, it's the technically life sentence, but to them it's, like, anything after a certain amount, like, you can't just get life in prison without the possibility of parole, because that's, like, I guess, inhumane. So that's wild to think, though, that 15 years for...
And I will add in that a lot of, like, European prisons and everything actually do work on rehabilitation. You know, we say we do in here in America and everything, but really, like, we are punishment, punishment, punishment for your crimes. And so they're like, hey, we've got 15 years to, like, turn this person around and actually make them a member of society again. I can't say that I feel strictly, like, if I was, like, one of the family's victims of somebody, and, like, I knew that they were probably only going to get 15 years, I don't think I would be really cool with that, but I understand what they're trying to do.
That, too. I understand that. It's like, a lot of European prisons, like you said, they're meant for rehabilitation, and then, like, prisons in America are meant for punishment and stuff like that. So I guess depending on the crime, I can see where it's like, you know, you got 15 years... to, like, if this prisoner has mental issues or needs help and stuff like that, to, like, reintegrate them into society. So I guess, again, it depends on the crime and the person who did it. So
yeah, and plus, this isn't like they just get 15 years and they always get let out. they basically go up for parole in 15 years, and they can decide whether this person can be let out or not. But it's customary that usually it is around 15 years. So Muse did come up for appeal in 2018, but a court in Kassel rejected his release, and the Frankfurt State Court rejected Muse's appeal due to the lack of favorable social prognosis, and even determined with the advice from experts that there is currently no favorable outlook for his future behavior. So Muse remains in prison to this day. So they're saying, okay, we can't let this guy out because he is going to eat somebody else again. He's definitely going to eat somebody else. Like, he's never felt sorry for what he done. And, you know, he apologized for the actions and everything, but he still really doesn't think he'd done anything wrong.
And that's the thing. It's not like if they deemed him sane. He's not insane. So there's no, like, putting him on medication to try to, like, even him out, stabilize him. So it's like he's a sane man, and that's just what he wants to do.
Yeah, and going back to being the German Hannibal Lecter, which probably Hannibal Lecter is the German Hannibal Lecter, because I think Hannibal is a German name.
Yeah, I didn't think that one through. I'm pretty sure Hannibal Lecter is German too. So
yeah, once I said it out loud, I was like, yeah, Hannibal Lecter is probably the German Hannibal Lecter. But this is a really interesting fact that kind of leads into this, like, whole thing. So Muse is taken outside of prison on field trips to this day as part of his rehabilitation. He dons sunglasses and a cap to mask his identity during the trips, where two officers accompany him to another federal state. So he doesn't get to walk around Kassel, but he gets to walk around other places in Germany. And there, he's allowed to just walk through the town and kind of have a field day out.
Well, I mean, all right, I guess, you know, part of rehabilitation, I guess they're trying to, I don't really, how was that rehabilitation, I guess? Just trying to get him used to being on the outside, even though he's probably not going to get released. But yeah, just German Hannibal Lecter just walking around town.
Yeah, if you bump into somebody in Germany wearing sunglasses and a hat when they might not be needing to wear sunglasses, you might have just bumped into Armin Muse, the Cannibal of Rottenburg. And that's the full story, folks.
So, yeah. Okay. So, there is a convicted cannibal just walking around Germany. And
he is accompanied by two guys. And I can see this guy is like, weirdly, like, again, this case was so weird because he's not just going to jump out and attack and kill somebody.
No.
Because he wants only consensual people. Now, is there something very wrong with this man, and would he do it again if he was able to?
Probably. Yes,
I think so. And I think that the courts know that as well. And that's why. So, like, he's walking around. He's got two guards with him. He's pretty harmless, even though he's done, like, these horrible, horrible things.
Yeah, that is fascinating, because, like you said, I don't think he would ever, like, jump out and attack you, but he would try to most definitely try to find someone willing to be eaten. And honestly, scary thought, but I don't think he'd have to look very far, especially with how far we've come with the internet and technology. I'm sure you could find someone who would more than love to be eaten and cannibalized with very little effort.
I think the harder part for Armin in these days would be to find these places where people are posting about this stuff.
I was about to say that too. This is not Cannibal Cafe. You can't just find that on the front page of Google. And so, it was kind of a lawless land there for a few years in the early 2000s. So,
yeah, the internet, like, you know, it's still free and everything, but it's highly, highly, like, edited. Like, you can't just go to a lot of places that can get you in trouble. That's where that dark web stuff comes out and everything. Back in the old days, you could go and look at whatever you wanted and get into any mischief you wanted to, right from, like, you know, your AOL web browser or web crawler or whatever it was called.
Yeah, so you could just, if you wanted to go, you know, see in the Cannibal Cafe, like, let's see what is on the menu today, so to speak. You definitely could, and it would just be right there for anyone to come across. So it's definitely wild. It's definitely a wild case just all around because of the unique circumstances surrounding it. I definitely, again, it was definitely murder. I don't think you can consent to your own murder, but it's just wild to think about that. Yeah, all the way up until the end, this dude wanted to be murdered and eaten. And with that, thank you guys so much for tuning in for another week. This episode actually does come out on New Year's, January 1st, 2024. So thank you guys for ringing in the new year and celebrating with us. Here's hoping that 2024 is an amazing year full of personal growth and achievements for all of you listening and for us. And we can't wait to celebrate another year with you guys. Let's make 2024 the best year we possibly can, and hopefully your guys' New Year resolutions are off to a good start. And until Monday, Happy New Year's, and stay dangerous out there, my friend.
Happy New Year's, guys.
Bye.